This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
WCCO Outdoors on News Talk 830. On this Sunday, March 24th, 2024, I'm Rob Gerislein, your host of this broadcast every week. Happy to be here for the next hour. We're here until 6 o'clock, so thank you for tuning in. A number of topics to discuss, as usual. In about 15 minutes, 5:15 or so, on the WCCO show here, I've never had our friend Dean Bortz from Wisconsin Outdoor News join us. Dean's the editor of that newspaper. I'm the managing editor of Outdoor News. We've got a sister paper in Wisconsin, and Dean's the editor of that. They've got some interesting things going on. Every spring, they have their what they call their Conservation Congress hearings. We don't have that here in Minnesota. But the meetings, it's kind of a form of direct democracy, you might call it. And there's some items on the agenda this year that I think are of interest to Minnesotans. And that's why I thought we'd maybe discuss it here and just kind of take a snapshot of some of the issues cooking in the Badger State across the St. Croix. At 5:30, my friend Tony Jones is going to call in. I don't believe Tony's ever been on the CCO show before. He's got a new book coming out, The God of Wild Places, and he has got a book release party coming out on April 2nd, I believe. We're going to talk to him a little bit about that and look forward to getting to know Tony a little bit. So stay tuned for that bottom of the hour. As I am wont to do, I often kick off the show with kind of some news items that are going on. I wrapped up last week's broadcast pointing out that it sounded like there might be some money available for this carp barrier at Lock and Dam 5 to try to stop the advancement, the infestation of Asian carp, four species of Asian carp that are working their way up the Mississippi River. Talked about that a lot over the years, been documented very well what exactly is going on. We've got Peter Swanson at the U of M who believes that this carp barrier could help mostly stop them from getting upstream into Lake Pepin and then, of course, other waters and, eventually inland waters here in Minnesota. They're big. They're nasty. We know from the common carp, which is also an invasive species, the destruction that they can cause on lakes. Common carp is, in my opinion, our most destructive invasive species, and we don't need four more of them getting into Minnesota water. So this barrier is something folks have been advocating for. There's some money available through the Lesage Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council, kind of a little bit of a windfall. The February budget forecast showed basically another $12 million of sales tax going into that that fund, that Lesage Sam's Outdoor Heritage Fund, the Outdoor Heritage Fund. And on this Tuesday, March 26th, the council has got a meeting. It's got its regular scheduled meeting, and one of the main items on that agenda is whether or not to spend this extra $12 million on this carp barrier. It is something the legislature has not. Last year, when we had the big surplus, we thought that would be an obvious year to create this carp barrier, to spend the money to get that done. Our legislature did not agree. The DNR hasn't been hardcore advocating for it. But now that there's this extra money through the Sarge Sams, I think everyone's a little more on board. From what I'm hearing, the Fish and Wildlife Service and or the Corps of Engineers would be responsible for maintaining it. I think the DNR likes that. I don't think they like the idea of being in charge of this thing once it's built. And so, again, at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, March 26th, the Lesage Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council will be debating whether or not to do that. If you'd like to monitor the meeting directly, you can go to YouTube.com and just search Lesage Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council. You'll see they've got a page there. And I believe that meeting streams live. If not, after the meeting, you could watch it afterwards. Outdoor News, my little newspaper, will have a thorough report on it by the end of the day, Tuesday, or sometime on Wednesday. So we'll let folks know if that money is indeed going to be spent. You know, there's a little bit of debate, I think, probably about whether this is the proper use of LaSalle Sam's Outdoor Heritage Funds. Is it supposed to be more directly habitat? You can make the case that a permanent barrier qualifies as infrastructure. Was that what we were thinking about when we created the sales tax in 2008? This is a special sales tax dedication. If you wanted to be a purist, you might be able to make the case that we weren't. That's not what we were thinking. However, and I'm usually not, I try to avoid this because you are setting precedents, but there's a little bit of the ends might just justify the means. We got an opportunity here to use these dollars to get this thing done. And we might have to hold our noses and use this money, even though it doesn't perfectly sync up with why we established the fund. I guess the point long term, we need to make sure that we don't start using these dollars all the time for infrastructure projects, but that's maybe a whole other debate. We will continue to watch that one here this coming week, and I'll talk about it a little bit next Sunday on WCCO Outdoors. Some other items going on. The crappie contest on Lake Minnetonka, that's been around for it's been held 53 times, I believe. There were some years that we missed it. I think maybe it was our COVID year. And then Ron Shera's operation, Ron Shera Productions, was operating it, I think, the past 12 years. I think there were a few years before they took it up that maybe no one was operating it. So my point is this thing's been around somewhere between probably 55 and 60 years. Holiday Stores ran it going back in the 70s, and Gander Mountain ran it. So it was really a rite of spring. Every year, that crappie contest on Lake Minnetonka, something we always reported on, always reported the winners. I think the Star Tribune still was reporting the winners of that. But Ron Shearer Productions announcing they were not going to be involved this year. So it was held, I remember back in the day, it was held in April. And then we just had too many years where, you know, it was still too cold. Or some years, I think, you know, we still had ice. And so they finally moved it into the first weekend in May. It was always the weekend before the general inland waters opener, walleye opener, that is. You can fish crappies. You know, there's no close season on crappies. So last year was May 6, 2023. So it would have been somewhere in that same ballpark time frame this year. But Ron Shearer's operation announcing they're not doing it. And I'm sure it's a ton of work putting that thing on. And proceeds went to an operation called Fishing for Life. I did talk to them. They're still planning to do some sort of event, and I think they're hoping to kind of relaunch it officially as the Lake Minnetonka Crappie Contest in 2025. That was the general vibe I got from a gentleman I spoke with at Fishing for Life. So we'll see. We'll monitor that and see if indeed that event does return. I hope that it does. Another quick date to remember, something that is going to happen. I talked about this last week, Public Lands Day at the state capitol on April 5th. I will be there. Looking forward to that. Hope some of the listeners to WCCO Outdoors will be able to turn out for that and yell and scream and rally for public lands. I'm a big public lands advocate, and we'll talk about that more next week also. Why don't we grab ourselves a little break? When we return, we'll check in with our friend Dean Borch from Wisconsin Outdoor News, see what's cooking over there. Lots more Minnesota headlines coming at you, too, as the show unfolds. Don't go away. More WCCO Outdoors when we return.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Welcome back, folks. WCCO Outdoors on News Talk 830. I am Rob Dreisein. Thanks for joining us on the broadcast on this Sunday, March 24th, 2024. I would remind folks, I might talk about this more at the end of the show. Today is the 25th anniversary of the Supreme Court ruling in the Mille Lacs case. That happened on March 24th, 1999. It was a Wednesday morning. I remember vividly because my newspaper's deadline when we would go to press was on a Tuesday. We managed to squeeze in a little note at the top of the front page that Wednesday morning before it hit the press to let folks know that the ruling had come down. But that was a big day, something we might talk about a little bit later in the show again. I want to check in across the border, across the St. Croix, that is, to our neighbor to the east, the fine state of Wisconsin, and check in with a friend and co-worker, a gentleman named Dean Bortz. He's the editor of Wisconsin Outdoor News, and I'm sure he is upset about the Badgers losing in the first round of the NCAA tournament a couple nights ago, aren't you? You losing sleep over that, Dean?
Well, I didn't lose any sleep, but I just about puked up all the Guinness I was drinking while I was watching the game. That was just terrible.
Yeah, that was not good. I'm a Badger grad, so I admit I had a little interest in that. And the team they played, James Madison, looked like the second coming of UCLA from the 1970s, but they're getting spanked by Duke as we speak. So, yeah, they were not ready for that matchup, were they?
No, and I did read up on James Madison a little bit ahead of the game, and it did sound like they could be a dangerous team. And whether they were that dangerous or whether Wisconsin was just playing that poorly, he was 19 turnovers in the first half. My Lord.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty. And we got and the Gophers lost today. We should point out they lost in the NIT to Indiana State, who everybody believes should have been in the tournament. But anyway, this is us outdoor show. We probably should get back to that, Dean. My apologies for diverting our attention. But as I said, Dean is the editor of Wisconsin Outdoor News, and I thought it'd be interesting to talk about every year over there in Wisconsin. You guys have these spring hearings. They're scheduled, I believe, for April 8th. Every county in the state has one of these Conservation Congress meetings. It's kind of a form of direct democracy. Can you give us a quick synopsis of what those meetings are all about?
Sure, you bet. Every year, second Monday of April, and we moved it off of the first Monday about 25 years ago because that's the NCAA finals night. The second Monday. No, I'm not kidding. We moved it so we get a better turnout.
Wow.
But yeah. And we have five delegates, just random, run-of-the-mill average Joe sportsman, five delegates for the Congress, Conservation Congress from each of the 72 counties. So we have about 350 delegates, and the Conservation Congress is legislatively recognized as an advisor to our Natural Resources Board and DNR, but the Natural Resources Board sets policy for the DNR. So the Congress, contributes thumbs up, thumbs down. The Natural Resources Board doesn't always take that advice, but, we get a chance to weigh in on everything.
Yeah, that's a good point. I should point out, we don't have a Natural Resources Board here either, so there's actually a couple layers of additional public review that goes into natural resources in Wisconsin that we don't have. We don't have the NRB. We don't have this Conservation Congress. Some people have advocated for an NRB here. I generally have opposed it because I've seen some of the goofy things your NRB has done. I'm like, do we need another layer of government? But again, that's another topic. So the agenda for these annual meetings has got some interesting things on it that I guess I thought listeners here in Minnesota might find interesting. For starters, Dean, we've been talking a lot about forward-facing sonar over here, live sonar. The whole country is talking about it as more and more people install these units in their boat and their effectiveness in fishing. The general vibe here has been, well, we're never going to ban it, but it might force us to alter fishing limits, blah blah blah, that kind of debate. But there's a question on the Congress's agenda here on April 8th that would flat out ban these things, huh?
Yeah, there is. If you were to take a look at the agenda, it's question number 22. It's very short. There's not a lot of explanation about the whys or wherefores. It just asks, would you support banning the use of live scopes and similar 360 degree imaging electronics in all Wisconsin waters? And now this is just to differentiate. This is a Conservation Congress advisory question. It's not a proposed rule change. So the DNR also will have, I think the DNR's Fisheries and Wildlife has about 14, 15 questions on the spring hearings. Also, which are advisory this year, the DNR does advisory one year, proposed rule changes the second year. But so this is a Conservation Congress advisory question. So even if it passes, that doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it'll sort of create an impetus for the DNR and Natural Resources Board to start talking about it.
If you were a gambling man, Dean, do you think it might pass? My gut is the rank and file Wisconsin angler and hunter over there who sees this on the docket, who says these things cost $3,000, and we got these rich elitists buzzing around out there with three or four of them, their big bass boats, you know, killing all the muskies, blah, blah, blah. I wonder if this has got a chance at passing, and if it does, what's the next step?
Well, I think it does have a chance of passing, and based on the letters that I'm seeing from our readers, they're supporting it. I mean, we know Lee Kernan, our retired Lee Kernan is was our fisheries bureau chief, the DNR bureau fisheries chief for, heck, I don't know, 20 years, and right. He's retired now about, you know, 12, 14, 15 years, but he's still well known and remembered and respected by a lot of our fishermen, and Lee recently wrote a column for us saying, you know, we need to kill this. Stuff. This technology has got to go. And I've already run three letters in the recent issue supporting Lee's view, and I bet you I have five or six more in the hopper to come into the next mm-hmm. issue. And so just based on that, okay, that's a pretty good turnout when you look at letters to the editor. We don't always get a ton of letters, you know. So if somebody writes in, if they take the time, especially these fellows who have been writing handwritten letters versus an email letter. If you're taking the time to handwrite a letter, put a stamp on it, put it in the mail, you're hot. You're upset. And those are probably the fellows that are going to go to the spring hearings and vote.
So you think if it passes, Dean, that's just step one. I mean, this could still take literally years for it to become official law or policy over there, right?
Correct. Yeah. It would have to build one heck of a ton of momentum, because I don't see the agency, the DNR, really getting too concerned about trying to ban it. And they wouldn't. It probably have to go to the legislature. We'd probably have to get some legislators involved. And I actually don't really see that happening in the legislature either. So
I just think that's of interest to Minnesotans. If it did pass, if it did become law in Wisconsin, I would think there would be potentially some public pressure here. The other maybe big issue you got cooking in Wisconsin, this is WCCO Outdoors. We're talking to Dean Bortz from Wisconsin Outdoor News about their annual Spring Conservation Congress hearings. You kind of got a crane hunting controversy over there, don't you? Sandhill cranes. We have a hunt here, Dean, as you know, in northwestern Minnesota. I think it kind of targets the mid-continent flock that comes up through Nebraska. They're probably staging down on the Platte River as we speak. And then we've got this eastern population that comes into eastern Minnesota but migrates down through Crux Meadows and down through the Indiana, states like that. That's kind of the bread and butter sandhill crane in Wisconsin. And there's talk of maybe having a hunting season over there. Sandhill crane hunting over there, I would say, is maybe a little more controversial than it is here. You tell me if I'm wrong, because I've talked to about this. I've said, you know, people in Wisconsin look at cranes like Minnesotans look at loons. That's not a perfect analogy, but it seems like you folks, you take your cranes pretty seriously over there. Your impressions?
Well, yeah, there are some of us that really like to shoot some of them, but yeah, the majority of the people, you know, they they call them pretty birds, and to me, they're really not pretty. They're interesting for sure, but I'm not.
Yeah, but they got a pretty call. I mean, their call is very distinctive.
Yeah, well, yeah, you better not be sitting underneath a roosted crane or two in the morning if you're turkey hunting. They'll blow you right out of your socks. That happened to me one time, and I
didn't know
what the heck was going on. Oh,
they're loud.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
so what happened, so this crane idea is not on the spring hearings this year.
Okay.
It's been on the spring hearings in 2012 and 2015. There was a question, would you support a sandhill crane season in Wisconsin? And in 2012, it passed in 65 of our 72 counties. And in 2015, it passed in 57 or 58 of our 72 counties. Now, what happened recently is the International Crane Foundation, and here's why I think it's such a hot topic in Wisconsin. The International Crane Foundation is based in Baraboo, one of our southwestern cities. And even though it's a worldwide conservation group, because it's located in Baraboo, I think Wisconsin has a keener interest in what happens with cranes. Mm-hmm. And so the Crane Foundation just recently ran a survey with some help from UW-Madison asking the question of, would you support a sandhill crane season in Wisconsin? And so they're trumpeting out their results now, saying that only 17.4% of the people questioned favored such a hunt. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that, and they're touting it as being, in the press release I saw words such as science-based survey, objective numbers, things like that. So they're trying to sell it as science when it's probably just a strong poll. Because you could substitute, I think you could substitute sandhill crane with grizzly bear, bobcat, wolf, lake sturgeon, and you'd probably get similar results.
Yeah, and white-tailed deer, who knows, Dean? Yeah, it probably wouldn't be that high, but you might be surprised how low it would be, even for a popular game species, if you do a poll of the general public. Yeah, where does this stand, Dean? Do you think, and I think you kind of helped make the point here, this has already passed the Congress twice, and it's nowhere near passage. That's why the forward-facing sonar thing, even though it's on the agenda, is probably unlikely. But back to my question, do you think this crane thing's got a shot over there?
Well, not right now. We have a group in Wisconsin called Wisconsin Waterfowl Association. That's a statewide group. We also have some county associations. La Crosse County Conservation Alliance is a strong waterfowling group. Brown County Duck Hunters over in Green Bay area, they're a strong waterfowling group. You know, so those types of group are working on this, but it's going to take a little time. I hate to say it this way, but the one roadblock that stood in our way for a long, long time no longer exists because Terry Kohler passed away, and Terry Kohler was a huge political donor, and him and his wife would fly their plane up to Alaska to pick up trumpeter swan eggs and bring them back to Baraboo. Mm-hmm. And you and I have talked about that swan catching program in Baraboo. Wrong place to do it. But they were strong opponents to any kind of a crane season, thinking somebody would accidentally shoot a trumpeter swan.
Okay. Yeah, that, they look very different. And the trumpeter swan situation over here, that's a whole other issue. I'm ready to start having a hunting season on trumpeter swans almost immediately, but that's unlikely, I think, for some of the same reasons we're talking about an unlikely crane hunt. Dean, we're out of time, but real quick, if folks want to learn more, they can go to outdoornews.com. They can check out the Wisconsin page there. These meetings are coming up on April 8th. You're going to have reporters at a lot of them and a thorough report on what all happens afterwards. It's a lot of work covering these meetings every year, isn't it? But it's interesting, too. It's a form of direct democracy.
You bet. Yep. Yeah. We'll be all over that stuff, and we'll have it in the paper right after we get the results.
Good. Well, Dean, thanks for spending a segment with me. We just kind of scratched the surface on some of the issues, but it was good catching up with you, and we need to get you on more often.
Yep. All right, Rob. Well, hey, happy to do it. Good chat.
All right. Take care. Have a good week ahead. Just stay warm during this crazy weather.
Yeah. This is our first ice for the second time this year.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that nuts? All right, thank you, Dean. Dean Borch from Wisconsin Outdoor News. Yeah, before the show started, I asked my son to go shovel the snow out there. He said, "Dad, I think it's all going to melt." So I think any parent can relate to that. It is 5:32 p.m. I think I better get in a break. We've got my friend Tony Jones who's going to join us in just a moment. So stay tuned for that. I will be. Then we'll come back and wrap it up with some other news topics. You're listening to WCCO Outdoors. Welcome back, everybody. News Talk 830 WCCO Outdoors. Rob Driesline with you for another segment on this Sunday, March 24th, 2024. Thanks for joining the broadcast. We're here until the top of the hour. Hey, an event is coming up on April 2nd. It's an official release of a new book from a friend of mine who's written for Outdoor News. I can't remember if he's joined us on WCCO Outdoors before. My apologies, but he's with us now. Tony Jones has got a new book coming out, The God of Wild Places. Tony, you're from the Twin Cities originally, but you've this book and your travels the past decade or so have taken you to a lot of really cool spots, hasn't it?
Yeah, Rob, I appreciate you having me on. I haven't been on your CCO show before, and I grew up, of course, with CCO on in the car whenever we got in the car. And my grandparents, who lived in Gaylord, Minnesota, had CCO on from, you know, the moment the first one of them walked in the kitchen till they shut out the lights at night, CCO. So yeah, I've gone a lot of places with my Preach to Hunt gig, which we can talk about, and CCO Clear Channel. I can get them. I can listen to Twins games wherever they are.
Let's talk about your background a little bit. You were a theologian by training, mm-hmm. a pastor. Your career took, what would you say, a bit of a detour. And this book kind of breaks that all down. The God of Wild Places, Rediscovering the Divine in the Untamed Outdoors. You know, that in a way, Tony, that's an old story, isn't it? Going to the wilderness, going to the outdoors to try to reset. Is that kind of what this book is all about?
Yeah. As you alluded to, I had a pretty conventional life, grew up in Edina, ended up back in Edina as a pastor, having, you know, gone through seminary and paid all my dues that way. And then, I don't know the word you just used. I tend to use the phrase, and I don't know if this is good neighbor friendly, ass over tea kettle. My life went, I kind of lost everything, divorce, foreclosure, custody fight, you know, that kind of thing. And a lot of good things happened out of that. Got custody of my kids and got remarried very happily. But yeah, my career went down the toilet. I lost a lot. And the church wasn't so much a welcome place for me anymore, Rob. And I started going outside and really finding, reconnecting with what do you want to call it? God, the divine, transcendence, the sublime. I use all these phrases in the book, all these different words. I think they all point to the same thing. And yeah, to your question, I think exactly. I think our ancestors did this before they even had churches to worship in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you go back to the New Testament, right? Jesus goes to the wilderness to pray at one point. Yeah. You know, Hank Thoreau wrote a little book about Walden Pond that in some ways started the modern environmental movement. You know, I'm a big Hemingway guy. Really, his first successful chunk of writing was The Big Two-Hearted, where a World War I veteran who's damaged in many different ways goes fishing and tries to restore his soul a bit. And yours gets back to some of the same things, rediscovering the divine in the untamed outdoors. I like the tagline a lot in your book, a pastor walks out of the church and into the woods in pursuit of the God he's lost. Did you find God back in the woods, Tony?
Before I answer that, I want to nod to your great literary references, because I know you and I are both book lovers. And I'll tell you, two authors who really inspired me for this book are Sigurd Olsen and Aldo Leopold, also founders of, you know, modern conservation movement. And I know you love their writing as much as I do. And here's what I think people might not know who haven't actually read their works. They were deeply spiritual about both of them. They were not afraid to write about, you might call it religion or faith or spirituality, in the woods. So they really inspired me. I think sometimes, Rob, I think the modern conservation movement and the organizations where you and I are both a part of and advocate for, sometimes they're a little wary of the spiritual or the religious side of people's experience outdoors. But I think that's key to future generations enjoying the outdoors, especially as we watch organized religion, you know, basically failing, losing adherence very quickly in America. I think a lot of people are going to go to the outdoors searching for truth or transcendence or God. And to your question, I guess I'd say you got to read the book to find out, Rob.
That's good. No, you bet. Hey, you're listening to WCCO Outdoors. Rob Jerisline chatting with my friend Tony Jones, who's got a new book coming out officially on April 2nd, 2024. He's got a website, godofwildplaces.com. And that's the name of the book, The God of Wild Places, Rediscovering the Divine in the Untamed Outdoors. You've got an official book release party coming up that very evening, right? On April 2nd, 6 to 8 p.m. at Wooden Hill Brewing Company in Edina. Everybody's invited?
Yes, Rob. I'd love to see people. I'd love to see Well, I think you'll be there, so maybe some CCO Outdoors listeners can get you to, you know, autograph the back of their CCO jersey or of their outdoor news hat. You'll be there. Yeah,
I will be there. Yeah, if someone wants to come taunt me about something I've said on this show, you can absolutely come do that as long as you buy a copy of Tony's book at his book release party, and we'll circle back to that. More about your background. One thing you've done as you were kind of rediscovering the outdoors was you would preach for access to hunting land, right? You want to tell listeners about that a little bit, some funny anecdotes?
Yeah, for sure, Rob. It was about 15 years ago. I was down on my luck, as I said, and it was kind of in the middle of everything bad happening in my life. And I really felt drawn to hunting, but I'm an adult onset hunter. I didn't grow up with a dad who hunted. I didn't have any access to land or buddies who hunted. So I thought, what do I have to offer? I mean, I guess I could pull fence or something, but I wouldn't even know where to start. So I posted on my blog 15 years ago that I would preach for free in exchange for hunting. And I got an email from the Episcopal priest in Huron, South Dakota. And all I knew about Huron was it has the world's largest pheasant.
You bet.
So I thought, well, that's a good sign. And I drove out there and she connected me up with Jorge Vicuña, who's become a dear, dear friend of mine. And yeah, and I've since hunted. I've preached for free and gotten hunting in exchange in not only in South Dakota, but in North Dakota and Iowa and Wisconsin and in Minnesota. And I'm still open for offers, Rob. I'm still taking offers.
Based on my conversations with you, some of the most important people in your life, some of your best friends, you built through these relationships, traveling, preaching in some of these rural communities and building new hunting mentors along the way, right?
That's right. I mean, Jorge's among them. I dedicate the book to four fellows who mentored me, my four main hunting mentors. And then I've you know, continued that and paid it forward. And I mentor young guys every year. I've taken many guys out hunting in the years since. So yeah, it's become a really big part of my life. And as we alluded to earlier, it's become really the centerpiece of my spirituality.
You've done so.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody. News Talk 830 WCCO Outdoors. Rob Dreisein with you for another segment on this Sunday, March 24th, 2024. Thanks for joining the broadcast. We're here until the top of the hour. Hey, an event is coming up on April 2nd. It's an official release of a new book from a friend of mine who's he's written for Outdoor News. I can't remember if he's joined us on WCCO Outdoors before. My apologies. But he's with us now. Tony Jones has got a new book coming out, The God of Wild Places. Tony, you're from the Twin Cities originally, but you've this book and your travels the past decade or so have taken you to a lot of really cool spots, hasn't it?
Yeah, Rob, I appreciate you having me on. I haven't been on your CCO show before, and I grew up, of course, with CCO on in the car whenever we got in the car. And my grandparents, who lived in Gaylord, Minnesota, had CCO on from, you know, the moment the first one of them walked in the kitchen till they shut out the lights at night, CCO. So, yeah, I've gone a lot of places with my Preach to Hunt gig, which we can talk about, and CCO Clear Channel. I can get them. I can listen to Twins games wherever they are.
Let's talk about your background a little bit. You were a theologian by training, mm-hmm. a pastor. Your career took, what would you say, a bit of a detour. And this book kind of breaks that all down. The God of Wild Places, Rediscovering the Divine in the Untamed Outdoors. You know, that in a way, Tony, that's an old story, isn't it? Going to the wilderness, going to the outdoors to try to reset. Is that kind of what this book is all about?
Yeah, as you alluded to, I had a pretty conventional life. Grew up in Edina, ended up back in Edina as a pastor, having gone through seminary and paid all my dues that way. And then, I don't know the word you just used. I tend to use the phrase, and I don't know if this is good neighbor friendly, ass over tea kettle. My life went. I kind of lost everything: divorce, foreclosure, custody fight, that kind of thing, And a lot of good things happened out of that. Got custody of my kids and got remarried very happily. But yeah, my career went down the toilet. I lost a lot. And the church wasn't so much a welcome place for me anymore, Rob. And I started going outside and really finding, reconnecting with what do you want to call it? God, the divine, transcendence, the sublime. I use all these phrases in the book, all these different words. I think they all point to the same thing. And yeah, to your question, I think exactly. I think our ancestors did this before they even had churches to worship in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you go back to the New Testament, right? Jesus goes to the wilderness to pray at one point. Yeah. Hank Thoreau wrote a little book about Walden Pond that in some ways started the modern environmental movement. I'm a big Hemingway guy. Really, his first successful chunk of writing was The Big Two-Hearted, where a World War I veteran who's damaged in many different ways goes fishing and tries to restore his soul a bit. And yours gets back to some of the same things, rediscovering the divine in the untamed outdoors. I like the tagline a lot in your book: a pastor walks out of the church and into the woods in pursuit of the God he's lost. Did you find God back in the woods, Tony?
Before I answer that, I want to nod to your great literary references, because I know you and I are both book lovers. And I'll tell you, two authors who really inspired me for this book are Sigurd Olsen and Aldo Leopold, also founders of modern conservation movement. And I know you love their writing as much as I do. And here's what I think people might not know who haven't actually read their works. They were deeply spiritual about their both of them. They were not afraid to write about, you might call it religion or faith or spirituality, in the woods. So they really inspired me. I think sometimes, Rob, I think the modern conservation movement and the organizations where you and I are both a part of and advocate for, sometimes they're a little wary of the spiritual or the religious side of people's experience outdoors. But I think that's key to future generations enjoying the outdoors, especially as we watch organized religion, basically failing, losing adherence very quickly in America. I think a lot of people are going to go to the outdoors searching for truth or transcendence or God. And to your question, I guess I'd say you got to read the book to find out, Rob.
That's good. No, you bet. Hey, you're listening to WCCO Outdoors. Rob Jerisline chatting with my friend Tony Jones, who's got a new book coming out officially on April 2nd, 2024. He's got a website, godofwildplaces.com, and that's the name of the book, The God of Wild Places, Rediscovering the Divine in the Untamed Outdoors. You've got an official book release party coming up that very evening, right, on April 2nd, 6 to 8 p.m. at Wooden Hill Brewing Company in Edina. Everybody's invited?
Yes, Rob. I'd love to see people. I'd love to see, well, I think you'll be there, so maybe some CCO Outdoors listeners can get you to, autograph the back of their CCO jersey or whatever, of their outdoor news hat. You'll be there. Yeah,
I will be there. Yeah, if someone wants to come taunt me about something I've said on the show, you can absolutely come do that as long as you buy a copy of Tony's book at his book release party. And we'll circle back to that. More about your background. One thing you've done as you were kind of rediscovering the outdoors was you would preach for access to hunting land, right? You want to tell listeners about that a little bit, some funny anecdotes?
Yeah, for sure, Rob. It was about 15 years ago. I was down on my luck, as I said, and it was kind of in the middle of everything bad happening in my life. And I really felt drawn to hunting, but I'm an adult onset hunter. I didn't grow up with a dad who hunted. I didn't have any access to land or buddies who hunted. So I thought, what do I have to offer? I mean, I guess I could pull fence or something, but I wouldn't even know where to start. So I posted on my blog 15 years ago that I would preach for free in exchange for hunting. And I got an email from the Episcopal priest in Huron, South Dakota. And all I knew about Huron was it has the world's largest pheasant.
You bet.
So I thought, well, that's a good sign. And I drove out there and she connected me up with Jorge Vicuña, who's become a dear, dear friend of mine. And yeah, and I've since hunted. I've preached for free and gotten hunting in exchange in not only in South Dakota, but in North Dakota and Iowa and Wisconsin. And in Minnesota, and I'm still open for offers, Rob. I'm still taking offers.
Based on my conversations with you, some of the most important people in your life, some of your best friends, you built through these relationships, traveling, preaching in some of these rural communities, and building new hunting mentors along the way, right?
That's right. I mean, Jorge's among them. I dedicate the book to four fellows who mentored me, my four main hunting mentors. And then I've you know, continued that and paid it forward. And I mentor young guys every year. I've taken many guys out hunting in the years since. So yeah, it's become a really big part of my life. And as we alluded to earlier, it's become really the centerpiece of my spirituality.
You've done some freelance writing for Outdoor News, other publications, including the Star Tribune. You did a great series on the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. You were up there with your son. The Boundary Waters is a pretty special place to you, I sense.
Oh, my gosh. Like it is to you. And you and I do have to do our Ely to Grand Marais paddle that we've talked about for a few years. Yeah, I did that series for the Star Tribune in 2019. And then it was on the Voyageurs Highway. And it won some writing awards. And, you know, it was really popular among Star Tribune readers. We then went and did a follow-up postscript in 2020 where we hiked we took the Grand Portage and kind of finished the route of the Voyageurs right down to Gitche Gumee. Yeah, and in fact, the image on the cover of that book was taken by Aaron Levinsky, the Star Tribune photographer who accompanied us. Right. But I'll tell you a little secret just for you and me and your listeners, Rob. You see that cover of that book? Bob Timmons was actually in the boat. And my wife photoshopped him out for the cover So when those listeners who might know Bob Timmons, who's the outdoors editor of the Star Tribune, he should be in the bow of that canoe.
Another thing I've learned about you and admired about you is you're a dog man, right? And yet you didn't necessarily come from a family, obviously, with hunting dogs, but it seems like you always got a good hunting dog by your side these days.
Yeah, I grew up with a 120-pound yellow lab mix mutt. When we were playing touch football in the backyard, he would tackle us and pin us down at 120 pounds. There's a chapter in the book, Rob, called Companions, in which I track the three yellow labs I've had in my adult life and how each of them was about a decade-long chapter of one of them was with me in that first marriage, one of them was with me through the rebuilding of my life, and then the one I've got now is kind of with me as I've reached a new equilibrium. So I've already heard from early readers that's among their favorite chapters, the one on dogs.
I believe it. I think we all go through a crisis of faith in our own way, maybe at times. I think yours was pretty deep, obviously, and it spawned this book. But I think animals, especially dogs, can help us get through those crises of faith. And I think your book helped document that. So I think it means a lot to all the dog lovers out there. I want to remind folks, the website is godofwildplaces.com. The new book from Tony Jones is coming out on April 2nd. And to kick it off, he's got a book launch release party at Wooden Hill Brewing Company in Edina. Again, that's Tuesday, right? Tuesday, April 2nd, 6 to 8 p.m. And it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, it's going to be not only a ton of people, and they got great food and drink there at Wooden Hill, but we got some giveaways, like you could win an Outdoor News cap, or you could win a vest from Chief Upland, or a t-shirt that says Modern Carnivore. A bunch of my friends, you included, Rob, have donated some items to give away, which is super sweet.
Well, I want to swing back around to the point of all this. I think this book will mean a lot to a lot of people. I think it'll help a lot of folks. A journey of loss and discovery through forests and fields, lakes and streams, from knowing to unknowing, from finding to losing, from life to death, and then back to life. How do you not read the book after hearing a description like that?
Well, I sure appreciate the support, Rob, and I'd love to meet readers and potential readers on April 2.
I will be there. Tony will be there. It's going to be a good time coming up here in, 10 days or so. Check it out, book release party for Tony Jones. In the meantime, check out his website, godofwildplaces.com. Tony, thanks for coming on. Happy to talk about the book. And we'll get you on another time. We'll talk about the Boundary Waters or something.
Thanks, Rob.
My pleasure. Tony Jones, appreciate him spending some time with us. And we'll talk about that book release party again next week. Let's get into break. More WCCO Outdoors after these messages.
Welcome back, everybody. WCCO Outdoors News Talk 830. It is Sunday, March 24th. Just a few minutes left when I wrap up 60 Minutes at 6 o'clock. Then at 7, a repeat of CBS Sunday Morning. And at 8, a repeat of Face the Nation. I mentioned that today is the 25th anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court ruling in the Mille Lacs case, March 24th, 1999. That came down. A lot of disgruntled outdoors folks this spring on a number of tribal issues. One, including Lake Mille Lacs, we found out, about 10 days ago that the season, the walleye season on Lake Mille Lacs this year, which kicks off with the Inland Waters opener on May 11th, is going to be catch and release. I did a little research. I believe that's the fifth time in 9 years that we have had a catch and release opener for walleyes on the big lake. Hey, it's full of walleyes, and it sounds like they're snapping because there's not a lot of forage in the lake this year. But nonetheless, it's disappointing for anglers when they can't even keep one fish. It sounds like perhaps later in the year, mid-August, the DNR is considering opening it up so that folks can keep a walleye then. But obviously, that's a long time from kind of the heart, in my opinion, of the open water season, which kicks in around the opener. And a lot of folks a little upset, you know, at the DNR maybe didn't give a little more thorough explanation for why it's catch and release. We'll probably be following up on that in coming days. We've also got some bills in the legislature that would transfer some fairly large swaths of public land to either the White Earth Band and or the Red Lake Band. I, in my column this week, made it very clear I oppose that. We can get into the history of it. And I, you know, that history isn't always very pretty, but nonetheless, ultimately what we're talking about now is taking large swaths of public land that are open to everyone of all races, creeds, and colors, and eliminating access for the vast majority of citizens in the state and nation. And I don't think that solves anything, here in the 21st century. So again, I don't think those bills are going anywhere this year. We did have, you know, a land transfer to the state park down in southwest Minnesota. That was a controversial issue last year, and it just officially occurred here last week. I don't think these bills are going anywhere, but the fact that they're on the docket means it's something we've got to watch in the future. With that, I wish I had more time. There's lots to talk about. Bottom line, I hope everybody has a great week out of doors. Rob Dreisein signing off for WCCO Outdoors. Welcome back, everybody. WCCO Outdoors News Talk 830. It is Sunday, March 24th. Just a few minutes left when I wrap up 60 Minutes at 6 o'clock. Then at 7, a repeat of CBS Sunday Morning. And at 8, a repeat of Face the Nation. I mentioned that today is the 25th anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court ruling in the Mille Lacs case, March 24th, 1999. That came down. A lot of disgruntled outdoors folks this spring on a number of tribal issues. One, including Lake Mille Lacs, we found out, about 10 days ago that the season, the walleye season on Lake Mille Lacs this year, which kicks off with the Inland Waters opener on May 11th, is going to be catch and release. I did a little research. I believe that's the fifth time in 9 years that we have had a catch and release opener for walleyes on the big lake. Hey, it's full of walleyes, and it sounds like they're snapping because there's not a lot of forage in the lake this year. But nonetheless, it's disappointing for anglers when they can't even keep one fish. It sounds like perhaps later in the year, mid-August, the DNR is considering opening it up so that folks can keep a walleye then. But obviously, that's a long time from kind of the heart, in my opinion, of the open water season, which kicks in around the opener. And a lot of folks a little upset, you know, at the DNR maybe didn't give a little more thorough explanation for why it's catch and release. We'll probably be following up on that in coming days. We've also got some bills in the legislature that would transfer some fairly large swaths of public land to either the White Earth Band and or the Red Lake Band. I, in my column this week, made it very clear I oppose that. We can get into the history of it, and I, you know, that history isn't always very pretty, but nonetheless, ultimately what we're talking about now is taking large swaths of public land that are open to everyone of all races, creeds, and colors, and eliminating access for the vast majority of citizens in the state and nation. And I don't think that solves anything here in the 21st century. So again, I don't think those bills are going anywhere this year. We did have, you know, a land transfer to the state park down in southwest Minnesota. That was a controversial issue last year, and it just officially occurred here last week. I don't think these bills are going anywhere, but the fact that they're on the docket means it's something we've got to watch in the future. With that, I wish I had more time. There's lots to talk about. Bottom line, I hope everybody has a great week out of doors. Rob Dreisein signing off for WCCO Outdoors.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.